live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show. It's time.
Welcome to another day made by the Lord as a gift for us, an opportunity for us to improve as people, to touch other lives. These are the times in which God has decided we shall live, and we do have unique responsibilities during this time. I got to get to this show. That's an awkward way to speak. I got to get to this show. Coming up on the Todd Herman Show, there's some great theater that's being done to counter the COVID theater. I'm sure you saw Kamala Harris and her husband. He's white. You know that? Oh, why am I commenting on that? Because everything's race. I was told that white people all had the whiteness bad. They kissed with masks on. They've both received the mRNA injections. They're both masked. Now, in point of fact, if masks ever worked, which they didn't, haven't, can't, to stop the transmission or even slow the transmission of upper respiratory viruses, they'd be wise to continue to strap them to their beaks and their speaking holes, because the mRNA injections, as you know, do not impart immunity to people. So they'd be wise to keep them strapped up. It would be really refreshing, I think, to have some more people in the Beltway media say, why are you guys play acting? Come on now. Why are you doing this? Why so much theater, guys? This is a reason I'll never be a press person in Washington, D.C. A, I'm not a journalist. Well, I mean, come on, man. Are there journalists? How many journalists are in the D.C. press room? Actual journalists. Because my question would be, Jen, I have to ask. I mean, I must ask. Why are you guys doing all the theater? No, all the ba da ba 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 da ba da ba da 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 ba da ba. I'm asking you about these fences out here, Jen. All the military units around the Capitol. Come on, Jen. You know, oh, I see you smiling. Circle back. Come on, Jen. And I'd be going out of work with the woke mask. No, Jen. When the Biden family, who in this picture are 17 times larger than the miniature Carter people, who are actually 93 years old, Jen, none of them are wearing the woke mask now. Come on, circle back. See, I got you. You're giggling. Jen, I got you. You know you're doing. Look, everybody, Jen's laughing. Maybe that's what we should do. It is what we should do. It is. If you get a chance to be around Jay Inslee, or you get a chance to be around any of these actors, you know, with their woke masks, though they've been stabbed with the mRNA injections. Hey, Jay, come on, man. I like it. That's a Biden thing. Why are you wearing the woke mask? You got the mRNA injections, Jay. Oh, look at that. I can see you smiling, Jay. You know you've been caught. We have audio of Jay knowing he's caught because a reporter asks a legitimate question. Why are you loosening the rules 3 days before the election? And Jay goes, well, that's because we got caught. No, sorry. No, it's because it's the right thing to do. That's right. That's what he's doing. Two drug camps. Two different outcomes. Great example of the flipping of society.
I'm absolutely sincere in my effort to turn my life around.
I have conquered the criminal justice system. I use methamphetamines. I try to at least use it once a day. But I don't really consider myself a drug abuser. The shit is amazing. I love
Travis,
it.
Travis, just relax. Travis, you want to smoke? Travis, you want a smoke or a candy bar?
I haven't been able to get too many psychiatrists.
I'm trying to just turn around my life, you know, completely. Never trying to come back to jail. Never trying to commit another crime. And not trying to let a drug control my life. Yet still being able to get high. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, can't believe I could laugh at that. It's just the theater of the bizarre. You think my bit was bizarre about, you know, circle back, I see you smiling. The laughter is not about what happened to that man. That's Travis, the notorious former lovable piano player, guy who dabbled in meth, who became a meth addict. And he was famous in Seattle. He was on TV all the time. He was the poster child of the first great and original Seattle is Dying, which is actually not quite true. It's Being Murdered, the separate country of Seattle. That guy went from this lovable, great, actually very great piano player, funny guy, loved the camera, friendly. He became a insane murderer. And that man, that voice you just heard, he was allowed to become so sick on this drug in the separate country of Seattle, because he kept getting released, that man bragged about beating his girlfriend up to the point that she was unconscious. Then, I think it was the same woman, I'm sure it was actually, he murdered her by hammering nails into her head. That's how he murdered her. And this is what he was allowed to become. This is compassion Seattle style. Remember that, what was that television show, Love American Style? This is compassion Seattle style. You know, and I'm very certain that woman who was being murdered wasn't at the same time thinking, well, at least they've reduced harm from needle usage. I'm betting their family of that woman didn't say, well, I mean, at least we can rest assured that our loved one's death at the hands of a man hammering nails into her head, at least that helped complete the cause of making sure people aren't arrested for methamphetamine use. So it's just the theater of the bizarre. And yet this is reality. And this is what is coming to the rest of the country. There is no way to look at this to say, yeah, that makes sense. There's no way to justify this. It can't be done. To justify leaving a man like that out to rot. Because it's not victimless, never is. So there are two stories of two drug camps. One, Seattle's told some homeless campers to clear out after a fire at a Lake City Park. Oh, did I say fire? Yeah, Lake City. No, that's north of Seattle. My bad. I read that to be another part of Seattle. So north of Seattle, they told them finally to clear out of this area. Want to know why? What took them this long? What was the final cause that got them to say to the people in the drug camp, you need to get out?
Neighbors combined had reached out to the city more than 100 times. Now the city agrees this camp must go. They posted flyers today saying the stuff here must be cleared out by May 6th.
It's a huge relief. It does not feel good whenever there's a shooting and an explosion and you're like, okay, thank God, they have to do something now.
It's sad that it got to that point.
The city tells me contracted outreach teams have been working to get people into shelter and on a path towards housing for months and intensified those efforts this week.
They've intensified the efforts to get people into housing, to ask them, to beg them. Did you hear the neighbor? It's unsettling when there's shootings and explosions in your neighborhood. My Uncle Donnie lived up in Lake City. I loved it up there. I can still picture his beautiful home. It's also Lake City in that area where a woman was murdered in her home by a person who was no doubt insane, and no doubt self-medicating with the drugs widely available. Well, how do we know that? Because his parents had begged the Seattle police, please, please, please get our son off the streets. Please, please, please. He's going to harm himself. He's going to harm someone else. He did. He broke into her home. He beat her. He strangled her with a cord from an Xbox in her own home. And everybody knew that was going to happen with this guy. So finally, a double shooting gets the so-called officials in Seattle to say, well, maybe we ought to clear that camp out so that they can go elsewhere and start another camp. Because they need to be able to start another camp. Because they will. In that story, they interview one of the homeless people who's actually a street person. That's a description of behavior. I'm not saying he is a person who belongs on the street. I'm saying he's a person who has adapted to life on the street and says so. It's the freedom. He says, I don't want Seattle housing. It's the freedom of being out here. Yes, that's exactly right. Freedom for them, but what about for us? That's example A. Example B of a drug camp. So after an explosion and double shooting at a drug camp in North Seattle, and they are drug camps, because homeless people or people who experience homelessness, and by the way, I like that phrase. I know that's very PC. I like it for the following reason, because there are people who experience being homeless and they seek any and all help that they can get. I experienced homelessness, if you want to call it that, for 2 days, two and a half, maybe 3 days, sleeping in my car. Now, look, I could have gone to my best friend and gone back to crash on the couch or even a bed at their home. They would have easily taken me in. So I'm not saying I was hardcore. I could have gone to an aunt or uncle's house. There's many things I could have done. But I chose, I'm between apartments. I couldn't afford to move in right away. I took 3 days. I slept in my car. And it wasn't fun and it wasn't awful because it was 3 days and I'm not a drug addict and I wasn't then and I've never have been. But I was experiencing homelessness. I'm not saying, again, that I had options. Street people adjust to this life. And to be frank, and can we just be brutally honest with one another? I get it. I totally get it. There ain't no alarm clock in the morning. You got people bringing you food and clothes. And if you're a drug addict, they bring you drugs. They bring you shooting kits. They bring you candy bars because you got to have the candy after you shoot up or you get sick. You got hero status. Victim hero status. Now, that's not my particular bag, but it is for a lot of people. This is what Seattle advertises in the separate country of Portland and the separate country of Los Angeles and the separate country of San Francisco. It's this great flipping of society. They make these people free to live this way, and we are bound by law to pay for it. It's part of the flipping of society. We're bound by law to pay for these things. Here's the second drug camp. And this is from the Post-Millennial. So neighbors discovered that so-called health officials, these are the same people who say, stay home and stay safe. These are the same people, the Dr. Jeff Duchin type. What we do as individuals affects society, and what we do as a society affects individuals. Put on a mask, stay home, stay safe. They learned that so-called health officials are providing needles to homeless campers on the Seattle Public School campus. So the sign for the students and the same people says drug-free zone. And one neighbor told the Post-Millennial, those drug-free zone signs aren't working. Well, no, because you have so-called health officials delivering needles to addicts living on the border of and sometimes on school property, taxpayer property. So there were shootings and explosions which caused them to shut down or at least tell these so-called campers. That's what they're called in Seattle, campers. To tell the drug addicts that they had to leave. Is it going to take an explosion or a shooting at these schools to cause people to leave? Now, again, I mentioned these so-called public health authorities. They're all about you masking up. They're all about stealing people's businesses. But listen to this from, this is just a glance through the mRNA pimping from so-called Seattle media. Como quote news. Medical experts said addressing the psychology behind vaccine hesitancy could be critical in reaching high numbers of immunization. Okay, let's go through it again. The mRNA injections do not make you immune. When you are pushing and prodding and conning and segregating and threatening and shunning people to get injected with an experimental treatment, you're going to have a whole bunch of people like me who've been pro-vaccine their whole life say, nah, I've watched the lies of cases, the lies and the death counting, the changes in how deaths are counted. I've watched you use a useless PCR test. By the way, Wednesday of next week, in this time slot, you will hear our imaginary trial of Tony Fauci. Bookmark it. Wednesday of next week, you'll hear that here. Some other examples of this from Cuomo. Despite new efforts, vaccine holdouts proving hard to convince. I love this one. Fear of needles may play small role in COVID vaccine hesitancy. They never get to, and they won't get to, questions like, why should I do this? My question, if someone says, hey, have you gotten, and if everyone ever says the jab, I say, you're not British. You're not British. What? Don't say jab. You're not British. You don't come to me and say, oh, I have the fish and chips in, mate. Don't do it. Don't say jab. People say, hey, have you been vaccinated? And I would say this, quote, this is a great suggestion from a listener of mine. Why would you ask me that? Why would you ask me that? Oh, I thought you'd be excited to share. Here's King 5, the NBC affiliate in Seattle, doing some pimping of the mRNA injections for children.
It's a new push to vaccinate Americans, focusing on kids as young as 12. Pfizer has requested FDA clearance for its vaccine, saying it's safe and effective.
So we, the physicians, are really happy. We at Seattle Children's are really happy. We would like to be able to give it to our patients soon, and we plan on doing that once it's, of course, released. But so are the families. Families want this vaccine. They really do.
Dr. Janet England is a professor with UW Medicine and a doctor at Seattle Children's. She says kids are asking, when can we get the vaccine?
They want so desperately. They want a normal life.
That's because you've lied to them. That's because you and King 5 have lied to them. And by the way, if you think Children's Hospital has any ethics, let me remind you, they shoot little kids up with wrong sex hormones over there. Seattle Children's is part of the trans ideology. They're part of that. Making coin, cha-ching, baby. So they have no problem putting mRNA injections into the arms of kids who are at no statistical risk from this at all. And they're happy that the kids are afraid. I mean, keep them afraid. King 5. Here's another example. Vaccine hesitancy.
As more people that want the shot get it, leaders are trying to remove barriers to vaccination and reach those that are reluctant. That's where the Ethiopian community in Seattle has had standout success. Facing issues of vaccine hesitancy, the group convened a series of meetings with experts and community voices this spring. That led to more than 600 people getting vaccinated that might not have otherwise. Seattle officials are mulling how to build on this method to connect with more people.
I'll give you an idea, Seattle officials. Let's have a polite conversation. Let's see if you can convince me, but you have to use data. Let's see if you can convince me to take an mRNA injection, but you have to use data. Come on. I see you. You're smiling. I can see you got caught. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Is that AC/DC? What is that? Thanks for listening to the program despite that song. We apologize for that. That's okay. It's okay. Alex is 99% on target when it comes to bumper music. Okay, I have to give a little bit of a background here. Years ago, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, we developed a warning system when we were going to play Hillary's voice. And the way it started was someone hit us up on the text line and said, hey, can you do me a favor? When you play clips of Hillary, can you warn people they're coming? Because I get an epileptic type fit when I hear her voice. And we, I mean, okay, that's funny because Hillary is a shrill and vicious liar who has a fake cackle as a stalling tactic in interviews. And I get that. And so I bet I said, hey, that's funny, but it's not funny for people with epilepsy. And that's, you know, that's not fun for folks. He texted my producer back and said, tell Todd, I am not kidding. I have like an epileptic reaction to her voice. So my producer called, I wish I could remember who this was. My producer called her or called the gentleman and said, okay, I just want to make sure, is this like really a thing with you? And he said, it is. If I get a warning and I kind of prepare my body, I'm okay. But if it just happens by surprise, and so my producer's like, okay, well, that's really serious. I mean, this isn't happening with driving. He goes, that's why I'm asking you to issue the warning. After we put the warning in place, we had other people come to us and say, thank you for that. Some people say, I get knowing what she did to our folks in Benghazi, it gives me rage fits. And other people have said, no, I feel sick. We had women write in and say, I am telling you, when I hear that woman's voice, I want to scratch my eyes out and never be a woman again. Which I guess, you know, Children's Hospital could help you with that. Well, but wait, you're not a child, sorry, woman. So with that, the Hillary Clinton update warning and theme.
My emails are so boring. I'm embarrassed about that. I've been talking so much.
That's a perfect theme, isn't it, for Hillary? Here's how I wrote this in the show notes. Russia and birth certificate hoaxer says what now?
And what we've got in the tech world on social media platforms is an algorithm-driven conspiracy rabbit hole that people are enticed to go down and then addicted because it is like watching constant car crashes. You cannot turn away. And as someone who has been accused of practically everything you could possibly imagine, I know how powerful this is. I mean, outrageous falsehoods, which fuel a sense of alienation.
Let me gather myself. Oh, mama, no shama. All right, let's take it piece by piece. The cackle. It's a tactic. It's a stalling tactic that's become a habit. She's been accused of everything. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Did she say conspiracy theory?
Rabbit you can hole? Run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
Maybe I misheard Mrs. Clinton, as Rush would call her.
And what we've got in the tech world on social media platforms is an algorithm-driven conspiracy rabbit hole.
Conspiracy rabbit hole. Algorithm-driven. Do you think that Hillary knows what an algorithm is?
That people are enticed to go down and then addicted because it is like watching constant car crashes. You cannot turn away. And as someone who has been accused of practically everything you could possibly imagine, I know how powerful this is. I mean, outrageous falsehoods which fuel a sense of alienation.
Well, what difference at this point does it make? Did she say conspiracy theory rabbit holes?
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. Oh. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did. And I take responsibility for those parts of it that I should. But, Jane, it was like applying for a job and getting 66 million letters of recommendation and losing to a corrupt human tornado. And so I know that he knows that this wasn't on the level. I don't know.
Okay. That's not bit. See, YouTube still has that stuff there. Facebook still lets that live on their algorithmic driven rabbit hole of conspiracy theory platform. Still there. That questioning of a United States election was not sacrosanct.
Well, despite the fact that this is the safest, most secure election in the history of all elections here or on any other planet, as certified by 99.97% of global climate scientists, now added to that list, Greta Thunberg. Greta joins us to talk about election security in the United States of America.
How dare you? How dare you question this election? You are stealing my childhood! What difference at this point does it make? This isn't new. You want a fun story? Would you like one? The reason the Democrats, I got this on about the best authority you can get it, which is some of the, how would I put this politely? Dark art oppo operators in Washington, D.C., in tech realms. Hackers. The reason that the Democrats got so good at, like, putting together the web, the big lie machine of Media Matters Incorporated and all of David Brock's investments. David Brock used to be a conservative, and then he wasn't conserving enough money. And then he saw that he could conserve more money and get more by being a leftist. He became a leftist and started all these organizations. The reason that the Democrats propelled that machine, that data machine and the ownership over media, and the conning of media to come their way completely and utterly to the left. I mean, that's been a long march, if you know what I mean. But the reason that happened is because Hillary Clinton was convinced of a vast right-wing conspiracy. And you had people who were on the right saying, if only we could ever coordinate enough to have a conspiracy. I mean, she said this years before she talked about the algorithm-driven conspiracy rat hole.
A politically motivated prosecutor who is allied with the right-wing opponents of my husband, who has literally spent 4 years looking at every telephone.
$30 million.
And more than that now, but looking at every telephone call we've made, every check we've ever written, scratching for dirt, intimidating witnesses, doing everything possible to try to make some accusation against my husband. I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that.
They started the Russia hoax. They pushed the Russia hoax. They paid for the Russia hoax with, according to media reports, the involvement of Perkins Coie, that used to be a law firm, is now just a leftist apparatchik partner group. They started all that. A man went to jail. Well, actually, multiple people went to jail. A man was bankrupted. Actually, multiple people were bankrupted. And then, because Alex is forcing me into clock integrity, there was this.
You were the official in charge. Did you wipe the surface?
What, like with a cloth or something? No. I don't know how it works digitally at all.
Wait! She's talking algorithms. I don't know how that works digitally. That's, what are you, an? Are you an algorithm? As if it makes any difference at this point. Man, the cat is in the back of the studio hearing that, freaking out. Okay, kid. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Here's a question for you. Why is the party obsessed with shooting kids up with an mRNA injection that they don't need? Why is that? Coming up next week in this, well, yes, in this hour, the first hour of the Todd Herman Show, Wednesday of next week, we will start the process of putting Tony Fauci on trial. We looked at some of the evidence yesterday, and it's stunning. Even I think it's stunning, and I'm slightly obsessed with the COVID, and particularly the news coverage and the global coordination around this, and the way we're supposed to pretend that this is not weird or coordinated. And so this time next week, Wednesday, you'll hear that we're going to have some things that build up to this to reacquaint you with the evidence against the Fauci. But the biggest question is, for me, why? What on earth would cause the party to obsess with shooting kids up with an mRNA injection that is, in fact, more risky to them than the virus itself? Which brings us to this wacky version of COVID Theater.
It's COVID Theater time on the Todd Herman Show. The continuing story of the wacky virus that only kills Republican protesters. Hates small hardware stores, but loves Home Depot. And turn reporters everywhere into stenographers for Bill Gates. SARS-CoV-2.
Yes, speaking of vaccine theater. SARS-CoV-2 theater. From our friend Kyle Lamb, now working for Governor Ron DeSantis. Yeah, I don't remember getting a chunk of his salary as a recruiter. I should be taking a rake. He points out the CDC shows over 3.1 million kids aged 17 and under have tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. And demographic data isn't complete, with many more infections we haven't tested, meaning many more kids have had this. It could be three times as many kids easily have had the virus in their body. They just didn't know it because kids do not get sick with this in any serious sense. Kyle does the math. Meanwhile, only 282 of these children have died with COVID-19. With is the key phrase, not from, with. Let me do the math here. 3.1 million kids that we know of have had the infection. 282 of them have died. In my hand is a calculator. That is 0.000090. That's expressed as a decimal, expressed as a percentage. 9/1000ths of a percent. And it's probably more like 3/1000ths. That's hard to say. 1000ths of a percent have died with the COVID flu. Meanwhile, in that same age group, 42,429 kids died at that age from other causes. That is 150 times more children, not 10, not 20, not 30 times, not 40 times, 50 times, not 60 times, not 70, 80, 90, 100, 150 times more kids died from causes other than the COVID flu. Meaning with the COVID flu, not from it. That is a key differentiator we should always keep in mind. Why then are we seeing this obsession with scaring children and families into getting the mRNA injection?
If people are playing tennis and they're far away, we can say that their masks can come off. But if they're crowded on a soccer field, they're on top of each other, they're heavily breathing, we don't really think that's a good idea right now. These are kids who likely will not be vaccinated.
But doesn't the science say that you're so much less likely to pass it outside?
I think not all outside is the same. So outside playing tennis, outside swimming, all of those things where you're far apart from one another. If you have a group of 10-year-olds crowded trying to get over a soccer ball and they're all breathing heavily, I think you need to wear a mask because, yes, there's decreased infection risk outside. But if you're all breathing heavily on top of a singular soccer ball, that has the potential. And we've seen a lot of outbreaks associated with youth sports.
No, you haven't. You've seen kids getting SARS-CoV-2 in their body, not becoming sick, certainly not dying. That's the so-called CDC director. Reminder that the first portion of the trial of Fauci is next week during this hour. The Fauci.
You know, I wouldn't call them excessive.
These rules against kids.
They certainly are conservative. and I think what you're going to start to see is really in real
time. I mean, look, it's not like we're seeing schools making kids wear a mask with a hole in it and then allowing them to blow through a woodwind instrument. What? Oh, they're doing that? In Washington State. Well, that's a good idea. They should do that.
I'm continually reevaluating that for its practicality. Because you're right. People look at that and they say, well, is that being a little bit too far right?
Yes. You're scaring kids and you're doing it on purpose so you can see more drones like this guy.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccine.
Why are they obsessed with shooting kids up with this stuff, or college kids? Why? I need to understand this. I don't know why. Maybe it's to habituate the behavior of shut up your own brain, turn off your skeptical thinking. Don't you dare look at that data, that algorithmic rat hole of actuarial data, scientifically rigorous data. Don't look at that. Listen to the Fauci. Well, I do say if you're having a heart attack, rub some dirt on it. Claire McCaskill is a politician. She has an idea.
Have you guys seriously considered working with not-for-profits or other health organizations to maybe provide some kind of prize drawing for people who come and get their vaccination at this point? Maybe some cash, maybe a coupon for...
Hey, I got an idea. How about a lifetime supply of Coke? Oh, wait, no, that'd make people... Yeah, got it. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.